eventually. So keep it open. Maybe just stick it on the chair next to you. And let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can meet together. We sang in that first song as those who trust Jesus, we are your people. We know your grace. And you are changing us to be more like Jesus and to walk in good works. Please help us to think that through now. In Jesus' name, amen. Question to get you thinking at the start. Do you want to grow? Do you want to grow? I don't mean physically. I spent most of my teenage years hunched down because I thought I was too tall. I don't want to grow. Not physically, but spiritually, as a person. Do you want to grow? Do you want to change? I'm guessing all of us have tried to change at some points in our life, haven't we? Have you ever made a New Year's resolution? Oops. I have. There's my Bible. Maybe you've started a diet. You've decided it's time for a change to eat healthy. I know I've tried that. Maybe you've decided to have a clear out or redecorate your house or a change of job or a location. We all sort of change at some points in our lives, don't we? Maybe, like me, you've promised your wife you're going to be better and be nicer in the future. I'm going to change. We want to change, don't we, on the most part? We want to grow. We want to improve. We want to better ourselves. And there's something admirable about that, isn't there? The mission statement of the Redeemer School, which we're attached to here, is believing, loving, caring, sharing, everyone growing in the light of Christ. This idea that our children will grow in the light of Christ. And it doesn't stop as you're a child, does it? As adults as well. Now, there might be some people thinking this. You might be thinking, I don't need to change. I'm not going to change for myself. I'm not going to change for God. I'm not going to change for nobody. Can I suggest that that's a wrong way of thinking for a Christian anyway? Because actually to be a Christian is to admit to God that you need to change, isn't it? To be a Christian is to admit you've got a sin problem and to turn to Jesus and receive that fantastic and complete and full forgiveness he offers. But as we turn to Jesus, we turn down the path of change. Jesus, it's true, takes us as we are. But Jesus doesn't leave us where we are. That's why as Christians every week we declare we need to change in the confession. As we admit we've not lived up to God's standards, that we're broken people, we're people who need help. So I guess the question maybe in more detail to consider is how do I need to change? How do you need to change? I don't know what the particular areas might be for you. It might be addressing laziness or worry. It might be an addiction to pornography or gambling or alcohol. It might be over-competitiveness. It might be pride or lust or being over-critical. It might be in the area of social anxiety or anger or fear about what others think of you. It might be foul language or discontent. It's probably a number of things I just said. You might have struggled to change in the past. You might even be tempted to give up trying to change. Well, if you know your need to change, and this sermon series that we're about to embark on over the next 6 or 7 weeks is for you. Over the next month or so, we're going to think about the process by which real change with Jesus happens. And to start with, we've got some good news. Here's the great news. God is changing his people. God is in the business of changing his people. Let me just read this verse on screen. And we who with unveiled faces are contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Can you see what that's saying? That God is in the business of changing his people. That's fantastic news, isn't it? God is involved in it. There's a saying, you might have come across it, it's actually from the Bible. A leopard can't change his spots. Maybe that's that behind that is, you know, it's hard to change. Change is difficult. And a leopard can't change its spots, can it? Not by itself. It can't go, and then suddenly its spots go. I guess you could paint over its spots with that hairspray. But they'd still be there, wouldn't they? It can't change. Not by itself. And the Bible says we can't change by ourselves either. We can't go, I'm going to try really hard. And actually have that. You can't have that internal change that we talked about in the kids' slot by ourselves. But what about the God who made the leopard? Could he change the leopard's spots? Yeah. He's got all power in the universe. And the God who made us, who made this world, who's in control of everything, says, I am working in you to change you with that power to help you change. He can change you. And notice that verse. Notice the direction of change. What we've been changed to be more like. We are being transformed into his likeness. Jesus' likeness. We're being changed to be more like Jesus. And isn't that great? Because Jesus is wonderful. You read the Gospels and you see a man who was kind to the vulnerable, but willing to challenge those who sinned. A man who perfectly obeyed God, his Father, who perfectly loved others. A man who used his power to help others, not to get one over on them. A man who empathized with those who were mourning, who challenged the proud, who was completely content and patient and self-sacrificial. That's Jesus. And God is making us more like him. That's what God wants for you if you're trusting Jesus. Our home groups are, most of our home groups are looking at this midweek as well, using this little book called Real Change, thinking these things through in a smaller groups during the week. And let me just read a section of this book. This is what it says. God is not reluctant to change his children. We might be like run-down houses that need lots of renovation. But God never thinks, what a wreck, I can't be bothered with them. No, he knows what we will one day become. He knows we will be beautiful when he completes his work in us. And he loves to change us little by little to become more like Jesus. God is changing his people. But how does that change come about? Is it just a let go and let God and it'll just happen automatically? Well, no, God gives us guidance and gives us ways in which that change can happen. And the first and most important is this. Real change happens in relationship with Jesus. Real change happens in relationship with Jesus. I just want us to pause a second there and just think about that phrase, relationship with Jesus. I wonder, what does that mean to you? It seems a bit weird, doesn't it? You know, we're sort of in a world, in a culture where you sort of, on Facebook, put in a relationship, you know, have you got in a relationship with Jesus on there? A bit weird, wouldn't it? The Bible sort of talks about us having a relationship with Jesus, knowing Jesus. Maybe just for a second, I help to close your eyes, visualize. What do you see when you try and visualize Jesus? Do you see a man dying in agony on a cross to forgive your sins? That's true. Do you see a king sitting on the throne commanding us to live his way? That's true as well. Do you see a teacher sharing his wisdom? Well, interesting, the most common way the Bible refers to our relationship with Jesus is to say that Christians are in Christ. That's a sort of little phrase that comes up again and again in the Bible. You could miss it. In Christ. A Christian is united with Jesus, attached to him. Where Jesus is, we are. Where we are, Jesus is. And another way the Bible talks about our relationship with Jesus is it's a bit like a marriage. Imagine a poor slave who is in masses of debt, and then imagine a rich, powerful king. Imagine that rich, powerful king chose to marry that slave who's in debt. When they get married, what happens? Well, all that debt is taken by the rich king. He pays it off, he deals with it. And all the king's wealth, all his power, all his influence is shared and given to the pauper who's no longer a pauper. And it's a bit like that with us and Jesus. We're not the king, we're the paupers. We're those who are in debt because of our sin and the punishment it deserves. And when we become Christians, when we're united to Christ, he takes that debt. He deals with it. He pays it off. We're no longer in debt to God because of our sin. We don't have to worry about that in terms of being punished for it. But it's not that just that. He gives us his wealth. He gives us his influence. He gives us his power to change. We're united with Jesus. Where we go, he goes. He shares our struggles. He knows our pain. He's affected when we disobey him. And his power is our power to change. And so real change can only happen through our relationship with Jesus. We can't sort of shortcut Jesus and hope to change from the inside. So I guess the question to ask is, how is your relationship with Jesus? Are you nurturing it through prayer? Are you getting it to know him better and to be reminded of his great promises of comfort as you read his word in the Bible? Are you chatting to him? We sometimes sing this song at church. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true words. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. It catches some of that. It's relational imagery, isn't it? That we can have with God through Jesus. Why not try nurturing that relationship over the next few weeks? When you wake up in the morning, or thank Jesus for the new day and ask him to help you. At the end of the day, just chat things through in prayer with God. Why not try reminding yourselves of some of the promises in the Bible? Because real change happens in relationship with Jesus. But there's something else God gives us to help us change, and that's the church. See, real change happens in relationship with other Christians as well. Anyone know who that is? Rambo. I asked this at the early congregation, a bit more elderly. No one had a clue. That fell flat, didn't it? Rambo. And Rambo goes it alone, doesn't he? He runs in by himself with his machine gun. I can do it all myself. And sometimes I think Christians can behave a bit like that. I can do it myself. Me, my faith, that's all I need. I don't need anyone else. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But actually, the Bible says being a Christian is a bit more like that. Being in it together. We need other Christians to help us grow, to encourage us, to maybe even challenge us at times. We need a church family around us if we're going to grow more like Jesus. If you've still got your Bibles open, which I haven't because it fell shut, why not turn back to that passage in Ephesians? We see it in there. It's a passage about spiritual growth. It is on page 1175. Thank you. So we see in at the end of verse 12, the body of Christ, that is the church, God's people being built up, this growth mentality. We see at the end of in 16, the whole body grows, builds itself up in love. But notice this is done communally. It's a communal thing. How does that growth happen? Well, verse 11, what does it start with? Some who to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. So the idea is growth happens when someone teaches the word to you. And you hear the word of God taught by a pastor or a teacher or vicars or readers or whatever we call them in the Church of England. But it doesn't stop there. Have a look at verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So how do we grow? We, as Christians, speak the truth in love to each other. We do it together. We spend time with each other. We're willing to talk about the sermon together. We're willing to maybe pray for each other and open the Bible with each other. Over the last year, members of the church leadership have been meeting to think about how we can grow as a church, not just in number, but in sort of our depth of understanding as Christians. And the things we came up were basically based on what we've seen today. We want to encourage people to join home groups or Bible study groups so they can get that growth, not just on a Sunday, but in the middle of the week as well. That's why I'm running this Discipleship Explored group starting on Wednesday for like a taster for people to experience what that's like and have a go at that. I guess not everyone has the time in an evening to do something like that. But maybe give another Christian from church or from another church a ring every couple of weeks. Meet up for coffee. Chat about your faith. Maybe offer to pray for each other. And growing together in relationship with other Christians. We had a fantastic time last weekend at Cape and Ray. There we are with Philip Beresford. It's a brew every 2 hours. We heard Bible teaching and then we sat and chatted. And sometimes we just had a laugh and chatted about anything. Sometimes we chatted about what we were learning. And I don't know about the other guys, but I feel like I grew as a Christian, through that. God is changing us through our relationships with other Christians. Now, over the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're breaking for harvest. We're going to look at this process in more detail. And just briefly to help us think where we're going in the next 5 or 6 weeks. And it's on the back of your notice sheet, there's a picture. It's not simple, but if you can get your head around it, it's quite helpful. And we'll be coming back to it. It's based on a passage in Jeremiah 17, which didn't get read. Something went wrong there. But we also saw in Psalm 1 this idea of a tree, didn't we, bearing fruit. Here's the picture. Let me just very briefly and quickly run through it. If you don't get it today, that's fine. You can get it next week or the week after. And these sermons, by the way, are going to be recorded. And they're going to be put on the Facebook group, the Redeemer Blackburn, or the website. If maybe you're missing a sermon next week, or you're away with family or on creche, you can catch up with them and listen to them in your own time. But here's a diagram. At the top, there's a sun, heat. That is the circumstances of your life, whatever they might be. They might be good, you might be wealthy, you might be bad, you might be having money problems. They're the circumstances of our life, illness, an angry boss, loneliness. They're just the circumstances we live in. That's the sun at the top.
Is this working?
No. And we can respond to those circumstances in one of two ways. So we can respond to those circumstances by producing bad fruit in a negative way. So we get angry or we get stressed or selfish. That's the bad fruit on the right-hand side. And the reason the Bible says we respond like that is because actually there's a problem going on in our hearts. There's something wrong with our attitude, our longings and our desires. That's what the Bible means when it talks about our hearts. There's something going on there that is sinful, maybe. So that's one way to respond to our circumstances. But there's another way to respond to our circumstances, which is on the left of the diagram, and that's to bear good fruit, to respond in a good way, to be patient, to be sacrificial. And the Bible says when we respond in that way, it's because there's something going right in our hearts. Our desires are for God and His glory. He's our vision. He's the one we're living for. And the way we change our attitude and our actions from the bad to the good, you can see at the bottom of the diagram, is to go through the cross, to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us, to come to Him and ask for forgiveness, to be changed by Him in relationship with Him and others and by His Spirit, so that our hearts are changed. And therefore our actions are changed. So that's where we're going in the next 6 weeks. Let me just give an example from my own life to help you nail it down. Here you go, heat. The circumstances of my life. I'm stuck in traffic on the M6. You been there? Yeah. What's the bad fruit, the bad behaviour I can Actually, normally I don't do that. Normally I just get grumpy with my family. I'm irritable and I'm grumpy with my family. What does that show about my heart? It shows that there's something wrong with my heart. It shows that I think everything should be going my way. I want to be in control. I deserve to be home on time. It's ultimately, I've got a selfish heart, haven't I? And when my selfish, controlling heart doesn't get what it wants, it responds in anger. I'm being annoyed. How do I need to change from bad to good? Well, I need to go to the cross. I need to say sorry. I need to repent, turn away from that attitude. I need to find and be reminded of Jesus' forgiveness. I need to trust God that actually His plans are better than my plans. There we go. Traffic, angry. I think I should be in control. But then through the cross, I need to trust God. As I look at the cross, I see God submitting Himself to God's plans. Jesus submitting Himself to God's plans. As I look at the cross, I see Jesus being willing to trust God is in control, even though it's hard. And then Jesus rose again after 3 days, proving that's true. Disco. How am I going to respond to these circumstances? Do you want to just turn them off at the... completely. And as I bring my heart to God... As I bring my heart... Turn them off at the socket, John. Thank you. And as I've come to God and I reflect, maybe with the help of others, on my behaviour, as I say sorry, as I realise what Jesus has done for me, I begin to trust in God's good plan. Maybe He's using this traffic jam for my good and for the good of others. And so maybe I can make the most of it. Maybe I can have a conversation with my wife. It'd be nice to her. Maybe we could put some tunes on and have a bit of a party with the lights as well in the car. But does that make sense? So same circumstances, but two different ways of responding to them based on our relationship with Jesus and how He's at work in us, changing our hearts. So that's what we're going to think through in the weeks ahead. I hope it's helpful. I hope it makes sense. If it doesn't, there's a bit on the notice sheet. And if you want to find out a bit more about home groups and Bible study groups, feel free to come and chat to me on the door. There's one starting on Wednesday. So let's be encouraged. God's changing us together to be more like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. When you look at us, when you see us, you don't see wrecks that are irredeemable, but you see lives that of people you love, lives of people you're working into change. Thank you that one day we will be with you, perfected forever. Help us as we take this journey of change with Jesus to be changed from the inside out. In his name we pray. Amen.